John 316, Austin 316.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, my co-hosts, Bruce Gunther and John Enns. Boys, what is going on?
Oh, no, more dead air.
I was like, I didn't want to cut in because I was like, man, last week I was cutting in everybody and I was just going to let that one slide. And then I was like,
You guys know this is like our shtick now, right? So every week you two have to just sit there and say nothing for about 30 seconds and then jump in.
We may have to choreograph this.
And the world just feels right. So, all right.
That's all good.
So with that, we're just having some fun. That's good stuff. This week, I'm excited. This is going to be a fun episode. So episode 19 of the podcast, we are going to start a new series here, How to Win Your Fantasy Hockey League, and we're starting with wingers. So for the next few weeks, we're going to cover wingers this week, centers next week. I think we're going to defensemen, then goaltenders, and then kind of just right before the season starts or in a training camp, we're going to do sort of a fantasy hockey guide where we'll kind of put all this information together. We'll probably do some mock drafts. Lots of good things coming here in the next few weeks. So stay tuned. For those of you that have been listening, thank you very much. The numbers are starting to climb and that's awesome for us. We really appreciate you guys are taking the time to download and listen to the episode. So thank you very much. And with that, I guess we'll jump into some hockey news here, guys, just quickly. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Bruce is dying.
Don't mind me. I'm just dying over here.
All right. You're good. You can breathe. You know what else is dying is Evander Kane's career.
Ooh. Wow.
So August 1st, Evander Kane's wife accused the winger of betting on and throwing San Jose Sharks games. The Athletic followed that up on August 3rd, saying that several Sharks teammates do not want Evander Kane back with the team next season. So what do you guys make of that situation there?
It's just ugly. It just, for Evander Kane, it just goes from bad to worse, right? This is what, on his third team, and each time he starts a new team, what is it, a year or two in, you start hearing more stuff about him. So
yeah,
I don't know if for whatever reason the Sharks let him go, I don't know if he'll go anywhere else. I don't know if anyone wants to take a chance on him anymore.
It's a lot of baggage, right?
Well, and you look what's happening right now. You look at Carolina got raked over the coals for taking D'Angelo. Yep. Montreal got blambasted for drafting that the kid that had the trouble there in Sweden. It's
yep, that's right.
They're going to stay away from these players now.
So yeah, I would agree. I don't know what team's going to take a chance on him, and he's still, what's he getting paid right now? Do you know his cap hit? I mean, he's getting paid a fair amount of money, right?
$7 million, I think it was.
Yeah, it's a pretty big cap hit. So, chances are he's kind of last chance university. Saying that though, he is ranked in tier one, right? In terms of fantasy points per game, like he's a productive player when he does play.
Yeah, statistically, last season was his best season. So,
yeah,
it makes the comments kind of odd if he's throwing games and he's having his statistically best season. That usually doesn't jive, right?
Not at all.
So, I don't know.
Interesting situation nonetheless. We'll just keep tabs on that, see what happens. John, you're going to love this. Marc-Andre Fleury has confirmed he will play for Chicago next season. That excites me.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited for that one. They need some positive goaltending in that organization. I think they got a lot of things going right in there, and he's just another piece to the puzzle to bring things along and to definitely turn that into a contending team still.
Yeah. Like I said last week, I like a lot of the moves they made. They look a lot deeper this year. Bruce, you must love the Tyler Johnson trade.
Yeah, I did actually. I enjoyed that quite a bit. It's, they've only been trying to do it now for what, 3 years. So,
Yep.
But, there is going to be a lot of fun had in Chicago this year. And also too, for the back up there, Lankanen, is that his name?
Yes. Yep.
Gets to learn from Marc-Andre Fleury. You really can't have a much better teacher than that. It's
for sure.
They're going to be sneaky good this year.
Oh, they're kind of a fantasy paradise right now. You look at individual players, that top six is stacked. Yeah. Defense looks good.
Yeah. Cause you know, Fleury's going to leave it all on the ice every night that he's out there. So it's, They'll make the playoffs for sure. They could surprise even two in the playoffs, I think.
Definitely.
I'm more excited to see his pads because every time he goes to a new team, he gets new pads, and they always look fantastic. So
that is true. That's something to look forward to this season. Definitely.
Yeah, I read somewhere they were looking forward to him playing with all black pads if the NHL will let him.
Oh.
Ooh.
I don't know if someone edited a picture or anything. I saw a picture of him in uniform. I think it was a mock-up, but in his Blackhawks with basic black pads. It looked awesome. It looked fantastic. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah, I can't wait to see that. That's awesome. Jordan Kyrou signed a 2-year contract, $5.6 million, $2.8 million AAV to stay with the Blues. You guys like this one? John Tortorella signed with ESPN as an analyst starting this fall.
Beauty.
That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. I hope he just goes AWOL and just they let him rant. I do.
That's what everybody's hoping for. Instead of ripping one team now, he gets to rip 32.
I hope it happens. I don't know if it will. He might restrain himself, but either way, he's entertaining enough, so that should be good to watch. Aiden Hill signed a 2-year deal, $4.35 million, $2.175 million AAV to extend his time with the San Jose Sharks. From what I was hearing, it sounds like he's a part of their plans moving forward. Obviously now with this contract extension, that makes sense. I'm not sure what to make of the Sharks next year, right?
Well, he's going to play with some actually defensive talent in front of him. He's got Burns, Carlson, what's that other young guy's name? I can't
Vlasic.
Remember.
Mark Edward Vlasic.
Pickles. And then they had a young kid too. They had another young defenseman there too.
Redeem something.
I forget. But they'll actually have some talent in front of them. And it's good for him, right? Because he's been basically the third string / starter in Arizona because Kemper and Ranta couldn't stay healthy. So now he's basically going to be the starter there, right? So.
That's right.
Fantasy-wise, I'm not kind of curious to see how he's going to shake out. He'll be probably going the later rounds in fantasy, but I don't know. The way as well as he played with a team with less talent in Arizona, they could surprise too, because the Pacific is looking to be pretty ugly. So he could surprise and have a really good season. So he could be a nice fantasy sleeper for somebody out there too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I put up that post the other day, I think on Instagram, just talking about some of his numbers this year, and he's been pretty good. So, yeah, like you said, with some more defensive depth around him, some more talent, some more goal scoring, should help him out. What else we got going on here? Igor Sharangovich or Sharangovich signed a 2-year contract, $4 million, with the New Jersey Devils on Thursday. The 23-year-old forward was a restricted free agent. He scored 30 points, 16 goals in 54 games last season, which was fourth among NHL rookies in goals and points. He's the guy on my list to talk about here in the winger segment. I think there's some potential there, even if it's just later in the drafts. Fairly significant signing again for New Jersey was Thomas Tatar. Signed a 2-year deal, $9 million, $4.5 million AAV to stay with the Devils. I put out a post on Instagram just talking about that. He's a very good 5-on-5 player the past three seasons. Check out that post on Instagram, or I think we included some of that information. We'll talk about him a little bit more in the breakdown below. Adam Pellick signed an 8-year deal, $46 million. Defenseman got paid this week, right, boys? Like it was a little bit out of hand, actually. He's a shutdown defenseman. Like Pellick was great last year. Even in DFS, he provided some values in terms of hits and blocks and things like that. Multi-category leagues, take a look at him. Vince Dunn signed with the Kraken on a 2-year deal, $8 million. And the big one for us, I guess, was Darnell Nurse, and the Edmonton Oilers agreed to an 8-year contract, $74 million, $9.25 million AAV. Let's talk about that one a little bit. So, I mean, Bruce, I kind of know your thoughts. You and I chatted a bit before. John, I haven't had a chance to really talk to you about Darnell Nurse's contract. So what are your initial thoughts on that?
My initial thoughts are, I like the term. I think the dollar value is a touch high. That's just me. I don't like paying huge, huge money for defensemen. But I thought it would have been around that 8.5 mark. but 9.925, I guess it's not terrible. So I'm okay with it. Just with what he's been doing the last year or two, he's really stepped up, and as long as he continues that pace, I'm okay with it.
I think that's the biggest thing for me is, can he repeat what he's done the last year or two? And anyone that follows us on Instagram and Twitter, you'll see I threw out some stats, some numbers, 5-on-5. Darnell's been very good. He's been a top 10 producer in a lot of categories over the past 3 years. So I'm excited to have him back for 8 years. Bruce, what do you think?
Well, one thing that shows that Joe Sakic is one hell of a GM, right? He got Cale Makar basically at $9 million, which basically now looks like an absolute steal at $9 million. Based on what some of these other guys are being paid, right? So,
And he got Ryan Murray for the $2 million.
Yes. So it's
so one thing. Sorry, Bruce. Just talking about that contract with Makar. Someone mentioned that part of the reason it's lower is because they were buying RFA and UFA years for Makar. So the team had a bit more control there, and I guess in those situations, the player gets typically paid a little bit less. Whereas with Darnell, they bought 8 years, all UFA years. And apparently that makes a difference.
And the same with Seth Jones's deal, right? That was the same thing too. They were buying UFA years.
That's right.
Either way, if you take all that out and just look at the plain dollar value, right? So if Nurse is making 9.25, if you just look at the players where they are, Makar should be making well over 10 based on performance, right? He's been basically, when he's healthy, a point per game player defenseman. And he's not just an offensive defenseman. The kid can play defense too. Like, he can defend well. Like, watching him in the finals there against Vegas, he was knocking passes out of the air
with
his stick and getting him out of the zone. So it's still a steal. But in terms of Darnell himself, it's like, yeah, I'm kind of like John. I'd like to see him around the, would like to have seen it around the $8.5 million more around Leon's number. But with the prices that the defensemen were going for here in the past week or two, there was no way he was getting that. It had to be in line with it. So I'm not surprised. So
yeah, we're all on the same page there. I would like to have seen $8.5 million too, but I'm not going to squabble over 750K, right?
No. And I think Darnell is going to get better yet. I don't think we've seen everything. I think he's going to get better yet.
Agreed. Okay. Last bit of news here. Just want to say congratulations to the Canadian women's soccer team for winning gold in Tokyo. I'm not usually a big soccer guy, but I mean, it's a historic moment, right? Canada wins gold. That's never happened at the Olympics. I don't know if you guys caught any of it. I did watch the replay in the shootout. How about that goaltender, hey?
Minister of Defense.
Oh, man. For just to be chirping every single Swedish player, even if they scored, she still just stared them down. I loved it.
She's been incredible. I've actually been following the women's soccer team since before the 2012 Olympics. So before that, and she's been there the entire time. Stephanie is a hell of a soccer player.
Yeah. And big for Christine Sinclair too, right? I mean, you're going to be happy for her. Obviously she's had, was it 2 bronze medals at the Olympics prior to this?
Yeah. 2 bronze previous. Oh, and the big thing with this tournament was in 2012 and 2016, Sinclair basically carried those teams in those tournaments. In this tournament, she didn't have to carry the team. The team basically just looked after her. She didn't have to play a huge amount because there's a ton of talent on that team.
Yeah.
Like a ton.
It was cool to see.
It's no fluke that they won the gold medal at all. No fluke.
All right. So very cool. Canada did well overall at the Olympics this year. And, I enjoyed it. I don't know if you guys watched much of it. For me, it's something different, especially if it's July, right? There's no hockey on, so.
I watched a lot of the beach volleyball stuff. I really liked watching the beach volleyball.
I don't mind those swimsuits either, Bruce.
I didn't want to say it.
Well, if you watched, did you know that one of the women's teams, the favorite team, the lady that plays the front is 6'5"?
Oh, boy.
Like, she is a mountain of a person standing there. Like, she puts her hands up, her hands are over the net. Like, she barely has to jump. They played incredible.
So. No, I have a lot of respect for that because it's hard to run in the sand, right? And to make some of the moves they make. And two-person volleyball, beach volleyball like that is tough. I watched more of the indoor volleyball just like I used to play a little bit just in, yeah, in when I was younger, right? And enjoyed it. And it's fun to watch too. So, but like I said, something different.
Absolutely.
So with that, let's get to what the listeners are here for, and that's fantasy hockey. So how to win your fantasy hockey guide to wingers. What we did here was we broke down the players into tiers. So we've referenced NHL.com's top 250 rankings just for reference. If anyone wants to know how they were broken out by the NHL, they're there if you want to reference them. But what we've done is we've taken the data from the past three seasons, plugged it into a spreadsheet, and then based on sort of ESPN standard settings, which does include, well, we included block shots, hits, PIMs, and all of their other standard settings. And then we punched out some numbers and broke that down into fantasy points per game. And so now we have a few different tiers here. So tier zero is 4.5 fantasy points per game or higher. So we consider those franchise or superstar players. Tier one, which would be 3.5 to 4.5 fantasy points per game. Those are elite players. Tier two is 2.5 to 3.5 fantasy points per game. That's just a typical top six player. And then we've got tier three, which is 2.5 points or less, which we consider sort of an average or replacement level player. There is some leniency there, I think, right, guys? Like Bruce, you're asking me, I had some guys that were ranked in tier two or three, and you know, take that with a grain of salt because it is based on team situation and usage and potential for next year. So it's not, you know, exactly a hard and fast rule, but so that's really what we're kind of presenting here this week and for the next few weeks in terms of different positions and fantasy value. So with that, let's get to tier zero here, guys. There's only a handful of wingers and overall players available in tier zero. Wingers that fall in this tier include Nikita Kucherov, David Pastrnak, Alex Ovechkin, Brad Marchand, Patrick Kane, Mikko Rantanen, Artemi Panarin, and Jonathan Huberdeau. All these players are going to be off the board by round two in a 10-team league, and it's, you know, you just really have to evaluate your league settings when determining where you're going to pick those guys or how you're going to pick those guys. But you know, with that, we've got a few players here that we kind of want to examine a little bit more in depth, and the first one here is Nikita Kucherov. So, you know, after missing all of 2020, 2021, he made his presence known during the playoffs. He had 32 points, 8 goals, and was on 114-point pace over 82 games through the playoffs, right? So good for him, had a hell of a playoff. He had 19 power play points, 62 shots on goal, and 14 PIMs. So the NHL.com ranked him third. I would agree with that. The only two guys I have ahead of Kucherov in overall rankings are Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. So I forgot to mention too, his fantasy points per game are 5.08, which is pretty incredible over the past three seasons. But anyway, what do you guys think, Bruce?
Yeah, I don't know what else you can say about him right after all that. It's going to be fun watching him and Connor slug it out for who scores the most points this coming season. It's basically going to be between those two. It's like you said, he's ranked third, but I think once these two get going, Leon will be in third place. It's just going to be to see who goes first. It's Kucherov or McDavid. They're both.
And he's healthy now, right?
Yeah. Like you look at it, 5 points per game. So in ESPN and standard setting, that's a goal and assist per game.
Yeah.
So if you look at that over, if he did that for an 82 game stretch, that's 164 points.
And if I look at, I'm just going to sort the data here again. Like how many players actually came out at over 5 points per game over the past three seasons? There's only, well, I believe all skaters.
And wingers, the only ones that were close were, well, Kucherov was over. Pastrnak and Ovechkin were the two closest for wingers.
And if you look at overall players, all skaters, there's like McDavid. Three. McDavid, Draisaitl, McKinnon.
Yeah.
And then Kucherov. So, yeah, he's in pretty rare air there for sure. And if you're lucky enough to be in a position to draft him, do so without thinking. He's going to play at Brayden Point this year, right? Like,
yeah.
So John, any other thoughts on Nikita Kucherov?
Nothing too crazy out of extra thoughts there, because you guys pretty much summed it up. Like, the numbers don't lie. The guy's averaging over 5 fantasy points a game. you just can't argue with it. The stats are there. And he's been consistently good. It's just as long as he can keep healthy. And yeah, if he's there, you take him.
Yeah, no question.
Unless you're drafting first.
And then it's Connor.
Yep.
And we're not even, it's not even up that for debate. Correct. Don't give me this Nathan McKinnon crap. All right. Next guy here. I don't want to spend too much time on the tier zero guys because these ones are fairly obvious, but these are just some of the guys that we liked, I think, right? So yeah. Next up is Patrick Kane. I guess we talked about earlier how much we liked the moves there in Chicago, but for him, he had a very productive season last year despite having no Taze and no Doc in the lineup for the majority of the year. He had 66 points, 15 goals, a 97-point pace over 82 games, 22 power play points, and 191 shots on goal. That was good enough for sixth in terms of shots on goal per game, where he had 3.41. In my opinion, Kane's worthy of a top 10 pick pretty much until he shows that he can't produce those numbers again. So the Hawks did bring in Seth Jones, Marc-Andre Fleury, Tyler Johnson, and Jake McCabe. Add to that, like I said, Taze and Doc at center, and I wouldn't be shocked if Kane improved on those numbers even just slightly for next season. But what do you guys think? John, I'll go to you because I know you're, obviously being a Fleury fan in Chicago, we'll let you run with that one a bit.
Fair enough. Patty predictable, as I've just thought of here like 10 seconds ago. he's every year, I think that he's going to have a drop off, but every year he proves me wrong. And I think until he actually does that, I'm a huge fan of the guy.
Yep.
And like you said, I'd say he's for sure top 10 in my books, just because he hasn't shown any drop off whatsoever. I'm sure the time is coming soon, but I don't think it's coming yet.
No, I would agree with you. And you look at the talents around him, you look at the style of game he plays. I don't see a drop off coming. He's still ranked fifth in terms of fantasy points per game at 4.52 amongst wingers. So no question, he's right up there. He's a special player. So yeah, if you have a chance to draft him, do so. His 2020 average ADP was 13 between Yahoo and ESPN. So he was just outside the top 10, but I think a lot of people were down on him last year, right? Just based on the way the previous year had gone and they weren't sure about Taze, right? So makes sense why his position dropped a little bit. But Bruce, any other thoughts on Patrick Kane there?
Not really, no. It's like you said, the guy is predictable, right? It's just when you think he's going to have a down year, like John said, he proves everybody wrong. Like last year, he didn't have the depth of talent that they've had in previous years, and he still had a stellar year. So he can produce with whoever he plays with. He can make two fourth liners look like first line players. So it's
incredible. There's a handful of players that do that in the league, right? Like Connor, Kane, Kucherov. They can play with whoever and put up points. Okay, let's go move on to Mikko Rantanen. His 2020 ADP was 21.6, and over the past three seasons, he's put up 4.47 fantasy points per game. He's ranked ninth overall by NHL.com. He is the fourth-ranked right winger in terms of fantasy points per game. In 2021, he put up 66 points, 30 goals. It's a 99-point pace over 82 games, 24 power play points, and 177 shots on goal. I would personally rank Kucherov, Pasternak, and Kane ahead of Rantanen. That's my opinion. I don't know what you guys think, but that's mostly due to his lower shot rates and his production at 5-on-5, where he sits 40th overall with 98 points in 168 games. So what do you guys think? Are you putting Kucherov, Pasternak, and Kane ahead of Rantanen, or are you the McKinnon factor, are you taking him ahead of those guys?
No, I'd keep him back there. We really haven't seen Rantanen play outside the top three, so he's always played with either McKinnon and Landeskog, right? So we've never really seen him play without, where we've seen what Kane and Kucherov can do without. They can play without the big name players. We haven't seen that from Rantanen, so I'd keep him behind all three. Keep him behind there.
Okay.
I'm with Bruce on that one. He's always had the supporting cast with him, and to me, I just haven't seen his individuality really put him away from the crowd there. If we did get to see him by himself a little more and see how he copes with that, maybe. But yeah, I'm putting him behind those other three for sure.
Okay, cool. For reference, too, I forgot to mention here, so Kane was third. We're talking 5-on-5 points over the last 3 years. So Kane was third with 152 points in 207 games. Kucherov was 15th with 117 in 150 games. And Pasternak was 16th with 116 points in 184 games. And 5-on-5 scoring matters, right? And because I actually was just listening to, I think it was the DFO Rundown podcast today, they were talking about how power play opportunities were actually down fairly significantly last year. So if that continues to be a trend, 5-on-5 and even strength scoring is going to be that much more important. So keep that in mind as you are moving through your draft for next season. And in the spreadsheet that we're going to put out a link for Google Sheets here, we did include even strength goals in that list. I didn't put even strength points, which would have been helpful, I guess, but you'll have even strength goal scores here anyway, so keep that in mind. Next up, we got Jonathan Huberdeau. I almost didn't put him in tier zero, but I just thought he's been too good the past 3 years, and his production is right there over the past three seasons, 4.11 fantasy points per game with an ADP of last year of 21.1. Excuse me. He's the lowest ranked winger in this tier, but he's been very good over the past three seasons. Like I said, 231 points in 206 games. The Panthers made some really nice moves this season. In the offseason, they picked up Sam Reinhart and Brandon Montour from the Sabres, and they locked up Sam Bennett and Anthony Duclair. So expect to see Huberto, Bennett, and Duclair again, I think, on that second lineup. They showed some real chemistry at the end of the season and through the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised to see another 90-point season from Huberto if he can stay healthy. His three-year average looks like 29 goals, 63 assists for 92 points. So any other thoughts on Jonathan Huberto, guys?
I think the big thing for Huberto was, especially coming into this last season, was he going to play well not playing on the same line as Barkov, right? So could he drive his own line, right? Then I think he's pretty much proved he can do that in spades. He made that second line look incredible, and with the line mates he's going to have projected to have for this coming season, he definitely needs to be in this tier.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure if, you know, we hadn't talked about it. I threw him in there. I wondered if I was out to lunch, but that's
no,
good.
I think he's earned his way up into this, that he's shown that he can do it.
Cool. And he's made rich men out of Sam Bennett and Anthony Duclair, so I'm sure they appreciate that.
Absolutely.
They better. Yeah.
John, any other thoughts on Huberto?
No, I don't have a whole lot else to say on that. The extra pickups there in Florida and locking up Bennett and Duclair, that'll do wonders for him too. Like you say, he's on the lower end of tier zero, but I think he deserves to be there.
Okay. I like Florida for next season. I think they're going to give Tampa a run for their money. Just like for Tampa Bay, right? They lost Goudreau, Coleman, Johnson, Yanni Korsa. They lost four significant pieces there, right? That's pretty bad. And then you look at Florida and they bring in all these other players, Sam Reinhart. And it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Spencer Knight, I really like Spencer Knight for next year. We'll get into that more when we talk about goalies, but you know, they're a good looking team.
There's going to be a lot of fantasy fun possibly in Florida this year for depth players, and that you're going to have Huberto, Barkov are going to be the two big ones, but the complimentary wingers and that we'll see that. As we get down the list, there's another team I want to mention as we get down there, but there's a lot of potential here for a lot of good players to have some good seasons and put up some nice fantasy points.
Definitely. Okay. With that, let's move into tier one here. So again, 3.5 to 4.5 fantasy points per game. We consider these elite players. Starting at the top here, Mitch Marner, right winger, Toronto Maple Leafs. His 2020 ADP was 17, and his fantasy points per game over the past three seasons is 3.97. He was the 10th highest fantasy points per game, has the 10th highest amongst wingers over the past 3 years, 6th highest points per game at 1.16 points per game. He would be firmly in tier zero if only he provided some additional category coverage. Last season was a career high for Marner in points per game at 1.22. He was on pace for 100 points. He plays one of the best goal scorers in the league in Austin Matthews. So don't hesitate to grab Marner in any aspect, but just keep in mind that he doesn't provide a lot of category coverage. Thoughts, guys, on Marner for next season?
I think that just about covers it, right? So he's primarily assists. He's feeding the puck to Matthews. He gets a few goals. They'll get some power play points, but that's about it. As long as Matthews can put it in the net, there's going to be lots of points there for Marner again this coming season.
Yeah, I don't expect any hits or pims from this guy, really. John?
Yeah, I'd say that's the biggest disappointment there, is just that he doesn't cover any other categories. But like you said, he's good at dishing the puck where it has to be, and he can also put it in the net too. So, yeah, no, he's a solid pick for sure.
Okay. Marner's not that far removed. Remember that season, John, last year playing ESPN, and he was in Babcock's doghouse? And I don't think he didn't... Sorry to bring up some bad memories, but he didn't really do much for you. And then I think, like, right after you traded him to me, he actually started putting up some points. So yep. I do enjoy trades like that, although they don't happen very often.
And that's why I don't make trades.
Yeah, fair enough. Now I have to heckle you for any sort of trade. Okay, let's move on then. Jake Guentzel, 2020 ADP, 26. 2018 to 2021 fantasy points per game of 3.84. He was on pace for another great season last year. He had 57 points, 23 goals in 56 games. He plays at even strength with Sidney Crosby and Brian Rust, as well as Chris Letang. Expect to see more of the same from him again next season. Again, not a player that provides tons in terms of peripheral category coverage, but he's an excellent goal scorer and point producer. He had the 13th highest fantasy points per game of wingers over the past three seasons, and the 7th highest goal total. So he's a big producer for Pittsburgh. I'm not sure what else. Guys, any other thoughts on Guentzel? Like, I really like the player, but what do you think?
I don't think he gets enough credit, like, for the player that he is, right? Like, you look at him in the category we put him in. So we've got him in Tier 1, right? Like, when you would think, you hear his name on the radio or on TV and that, and you don't think Tier 1 player, but when you look at his numbers, it's like, holy cow, like,
yeah,
he's definitely deserving of being here. He's definitely a good pickup for the early rounds.
John?
Yeah, I know when I used to hear anything about Jake Guentzel, I used to think, oh yeah, Crosby just threw the puck off him and it went in the net. But yeah, no, the last couple of years, he's really shown his own abilities in there, and he carries his own, which is fantastic to see.
And I think pretty good value too. Like, he might go higher this year, right? Again, these are just last year's ADP numbers, but kind of towards the middle or the end of the third round in a 10-team league, right? So he may go higher, though. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go in the second round this year, but we shall see. Mark Stone is our next guy up here. 2020 ADP of 45.4, which is kind of crazy to think when you look at his production. Yeah, I mean, he had a very good year this year, but over the past three seasons, his fantasy points per game sits at 3.76. He's generally praised for his two-way play, but he also boasts the 14th highest fantasy points per game rate amongst wingers the past three seasons. 14th highest amongst wingers. With 61 points, 21 goals in 55 games, Stone is on his way to a 91-point season and carried the highest points per game rate of his career at 1.11. I will say this, proceed with some caution, because his shot rate dropped last year from 2.6 shots on goal per game to 1.8. And his shooting percentage was quite a bit higher than his career average. So he was at 21.4% last season versus 15.8% in his career. Some regression due for sure in terms of shooting percentage, but I would expect the shots on goal goes up a bit too. So just keep that in mind as you're drafting for next season. Any other thoughts, guys, on Mark Stone and the Vegas Golden Knights for next season?
No, it's again, like you said, he can put the puck in the net. He's going to have some assists. He'll probably play again with Pacioretty and center to be named later, whether it's, yep, Chandler Stevenson or who else. And I think he's going to be on a bit of a mission this year. The season didn't end as well for them as they had hoped. I think he comes out on a mission, so I think he'll when you look at the end of his next season in terms of on ice production and for fantasy, I think he'll come in higher than he did this year.
John, do you think he's coming in higher or lower than last year's ADP? 45.4.
I think he's going to come in lower. For some reason, I don't know why there's... I know he's fantastic, but I've never really seen him as a big fantasy guy. Even though the numbers are there to prove me wrong. But I don't know what it is. I just can't reach for him.
Okay, that's fair.
It's not something I can put my finger on. It's just an overall thing for me.
Well, and the shot rate is a concern for me. Like both the shot rate and his shooting percentage. Like to me, that's kind of a red flag. And the fact that Chandler Stephenson was their number one center last year, that's not going to work out well, I don't think, for next season. But
agreed.
Okay, let's move on to Bruce's favorite player from last season, Kirill Kaprizov. I think, Bruce, this guy almost single-handedly won you the ESPN League last year.
I was one bad a week away from demolishing everybody. One bad week away from it. And and Kaprizov had a large hand in that because he had a hot start and he kind of went cold there for a bit. And then I can't remember which team had him. They dropped him. I picked him up right away. And then it took him a week or two to get his groove back. And then he just blazed through the rest of the season. So it's...
Yep.
As long as Minnesota can get him signed, I will grab him for sure.
So here's the best part, Bruce. His ADP from last season was 174.7, and he was a rookie, right? So you kind of expect that, but that is phenomenal value. I don't have 3 year stats obviously to show, but from last season, fantasy points per game 3.59. Brilliant rookie season, 51 points, 27 goals in 55 games played, along with 157 shots, which works out to 2.9 shots on goal per game. He had 13 power play points, 29 hits, 16 PIMs, and 18 blocks. He had the 15th highest points per game rate, 0.93 points per game of all wingers over the past three seasons, although, like I said, in a small sample size. Again, he doesn't provide much category coverage, but when he's filling the net like he is, I don't think you're all that concerned about his hits or blocks. So, anything else you want to add to that, Bruce?
The only thing I would see that would affect his ADP is when we start drafting, if he's signed or not.
Definitely.
So if he's not signed going in, getting close to the beginning of the season, his ADP will probably drop as a result of that. If he's signed, he could go in that's probably as early as the second round.
So, let's just hypothetically, if he's not signed by draft day, are you grabbing him in the second round?
Not a chance.
Okay.
Me neither.
Yeah, that's too much risk for me.
Yeah. He would be more of a mid round. I'd want to have some solid pieces in place before I would reach for him. If he is signed by draft day, I don't think I'd have any trouble picking him in the second round.
Yeah, no question. I still think that deal gets done, right? It's just
they're
going to settle on something.
They got to be creative, right? Because in 2 years, the Wild are taking one heck of a cap hit. So, we may only see a 2 year deal right now, and then see what happens, right?
Yep.
But I don't know if he signed, grab him. He's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's odd. The Wild are actually fun to watch the last year. Like I've never said that in my life. Isn't it? Yeah, that's odd. It's weird. It's also going to be fun to see what they do with, they've got $15 million in dead cap space, but that's another story.
Yes.
Next up, we've got probably one of my favorite players, in terms of fantasy anyway, is Brady Tkachuk. 2020 ADP, 86.2. Over the past three seasons, his fantasy points per game is sitting at 3.56. And in the past 3 years, he's the only player to throw more hits, or the only player to throw more hits than Brady Tkachuk, who had 725, was Ryan Reeves with 762. It's a lot of hits, boys. Mm-hmm. Additionally, there are only four players, McKinnon, Ovechkin, Kane, and Matthews, that shot the puck more than Brady Tkachuk, as he ranked fifth in shots on goal with 694. That's a whopping 3.5 shots per game. add in 250 PIMs and a points per game rate of 0.63, and you have one of the best fantasy producers available. I would expect 20 to 25 goals and 50 points from this guy, but understand that his category coverage makes him far more valuable. So he's a guy like at 86.2, I think that's great value. He's got some good young talent around him in Josh Norris and Drake Batherson, Tim Stützle, Thomas Chabot. Like he's a guy that I am targeting on draft day. What do you guys think?
The question is, will you wait till the eighth round to pick him?
I think he'll be gone before then, right?
I think he'll be gone well before that.
Like, I would guess he's going to go in like the fourth or fifth round next
year. That's where I would see him, yeah. Because he's only going to improve on those numbers, especially in terms of goals and assists. They're only going to get better.
Yeah. As the team around him gets better. Like, he
could very much outshine his brother in Calgary with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so we can pull up the numbers here and look. Matthew Tkachuk, 3.72 fantasy points per game over the past three seasons. Brady Tkachuk at 3.56. I would say that gap's going to narrow this year, right?
Absolutely, because I think Brady is on his way up, and we'll see what happens with Matthew in because the system that you're going to play in Calgary here isn't going to be run and gun. It's going to be that grind it style. So you might see the hits and stuff go up for Matthew, but I think Brady's going to have a lot more opportunity for goals and assists to drive his fantasy point numbers higher.
Yeah, I think we'll see that on draft day. I think a lot of people are now flipping to Brady versus Matthew,
yeah,
especially after last season, right? But I mean, that's a good buy low candidate right now is Matthew Tkachuk, right? We're not talking about him, but he's a guy that, again, he's in our tier one category. We didn't mention him specifically, but his ADP is going to drop. I don't have it with me here, but it's going to drop for next season, and he's still a guy I'm going to target at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I just see the supporting cast around him just being that much better this year. And with him covering all the categories, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with out there.
Yep. We like Brady Tkachuk. Actually, who did he fight like? Was it Shea Weber that he dropped the gloves with?
Yeah, I think so.
And everybody was just shocked he did it. Like, that's the kind of kid he is, right? He's just...
no fear.
Yeah, making a statement. Yeah.
No, I like him a lot, for sure. Last player here in the Tier 1 category, we've got Alex DeBrincat. 2020 ADP of 116.5, which again, if you draft him at 116, you were laughing. His fantasy points per game over the past three seasons, 3.54. He was on pace last season to produce career-high numbers with 56 points, 32 goals... good enough for an 88-point pace over 82 games, 155 shots on goal, and 18 power play points. Again, we like the moves in Chicago. Daily Faceoff actually has him lined up next to Kane and Kirby Dach, which, ouch. John, you love Kirby Dach. You know how good he is. Can you imagine that line next year if that's actually what it shakes out to be?
That is one solid line. I like it.
That is going to be a lot of fantasy fun right there.
I'm going to try and get all. I'm going to stack that whole line. I'm taking them all. I'm taking Dach. I'm taking Kane. I'm taking DeBrincat. No one's stopping.
No, you're not.
You'll be lucky if you get one of the three.
I know. I will point out in I think three of the four or five fantasy championships that I've won, I've had Kane on my team. He's been my guy usually. So I'll try and snag him away from either of you two.
Good luck.
I'll have McDavid, so I'm not worried.
Yeah, I'd love to draft first overall. I still have not been able to do that in like 7 or 8 years. I've never been able to draft first. Just one time.
I was third last year. That's the highest I've ever drafted to.
All right. Tier two. So again, 2.5 to 3.5 fantasy points per game. These are top six players. First up, we've got Thomas Tatar. Nothing. Crickets. Okay. New Jersey Devils. 2020 ADP of 158.2. Over the past three seasons, he's got 2.89 fantasy points per game. I kind of went on a rant the other day about him in a good way on Instagram and Twitter, but he's very good at 5-on-5. Over the past three seasons, he's ranked 22nd in the entire league in 5-on-5 scoring with 108 points, 37 goals, and 198 games played. That's better 5-on-5 production than Sean Couturier, Jacob Verana, Kyle Connor, Ryan O'Reilly, Sebastian Aho, Evgeny Malkin, Mika Zibanejad, Claude Giroux, Max Pacioretty, and Steven Stamkos. If all goes well, Tatar should be given an opportunity to play with Jack Hughes and Yegor Sharangovich, as well as Dougie Hamilton in 5-on-5 situations. So my bold prediction, or our bold prediction, I guess, guys, for next season is 25 goals and 60-plus points. Any other thoughts on Tatar Sauce?
I agree completely. It's the New Jersey is usually when you go to a drafting your fantasy team, it's going to be those, oh God, it's people from New Jersey run. But this year it could be sneaky good, right? You've got,
yeah,
like you said, you've got Tatar, you've got, oh God, my mind just went blank.
Hamilton.
Hughes.
Hamilton, Hughes, and then Sharankovich, like, and then...
And we'll for sure talk about Hughes more when we get to centers, right? But he had a very good, like, despite not putting up a lot of points, had a very good season last year.
Yeah. And then Hamilton and Ty Smith on the back end, right? They brought in Bernier to help with the goaltending situation. So he's going to be a sneaky good team fantasy-wise too, right?
Agreed.
You guys still have Subban there, right? So their defense is actually better, right? So with Bernier and Blackwood.
Mackenzie Blackwood.
This could be they could be a sneaky good fantasy team.
Yeah, I think so too.
This season too. So,
yep. The problem this year with the goaltending, we're talking about wingers here, but Mackenzie Blackwood now having Jonathan Bernier there, it's going to be another tandem, right? Like you kind of have to grab both of them, but they could be a good tandem if you can pick them both up. Okay, I will also be drafting Tatar. Sorry, guys. Next up, Sam Reinhart.
So this podcast should be titled Devin's Fantasy Team?
This is my fantasy shopping list. This is just, these are all the guys I'm going after. Yeah, you guys.
Thanks for the heads
up. Just so you know. Okay, no, not really. 2020 ADP for Sam Reinhart of 138.6. His past three seasons, 2.86 fantasy points per game. He put up the highest shot rate of his career last season at 2.4 shots on goal per game, en route to 40 points, 25 goals in 54 games played. The fact that he was able to do that without Jack Eichel, in my mind, is pretty incredible on a terrible Buffalo Sabres team. Excuse me. Now playing with the Florida Panthers, he has an opportunity to set career highs across the board. We'll see how the lines shake out here, but if he lands on Barkov's right side along with Carter Verhaeghe, look for him to score 70 points and 35 goals.
Easily.
Right? Yeah. I was being conservative in my guess, I think. Yeah. But
because the knock on him early was, right, well, he can't produce without Eichel. He needs Eichel to produce, right? And last year when Eichel went down, he just continued right on, right? So now that he's in Florida and so he's gonna play with either Barkov or Huberto or a mix of, right? So
Yeah,
he's got, like you say, he's got potential for career highs this coming season.
One thing I want to mention, so we can expect some regression in his shooting percentage, though. He was at 19.2% this past season. His career is 15.2%. So not a huge discrepancy, but I would say expect some regression, but he's on a better team. Do you guys think he's going to get top power play usage next season? Like, Daily Faceoff has... Patrick Hornquist sitting on the top power play unit right now. So is that going to be...
Yeah, no, he's not. Hornquist isn't staying on there.
Agreed.
No.
I think he'll get his opportunity to play his way onto it because there's a lot of talent there in that top six. So,
yeah.
But he's got his chance. Yep. He may not start there for the season, but he's got a chance to play his way into the equation for the power play.
All right. We're going to try and pick up the pace here a little bit, guys, just so we can stick to our one-hour timeline. That's my bad. I keep yakking. So anyway, Zach Hyman, next guy up here, 2020 ADP, 171.4. Past three seasons, he's been at 2.82 fantasy points per game. So he signed a seven-year contract to the Oilers, $38.5 million. He's set to flank McDavid's wing for the foreseeable future, which is great for him and his fantasy outlook. He's an effective play driver on his own. Right, we know that from his time in Toronto. His production has increased from 0.47 points per game in 2017-2018 to 0.77 in 2020-2021. And he's on pace for 63 points over 82 games. His shot rate per game reached a career best at 2.7 last season. I don't think 30 goals in a 65-point season is out of the question, but where do you guys see Hyman kind of finishing up next year?
Tyler's picking him in the third round. That's how it's going to go this year. He's not going to...
Guaranteed.
If he doesn't get McDavid or Draisaitl, Tyler's picking him in the third round. That's just how it's
absolutely. Tyler, hope you're listening. We all know you're going for him. Actually, right. he might go Nuge third just because he loves Nuge that much, and then he'll go Hyman.
No.
Anyway, like we saw what he did with Marner and Matthews, right? So
yeah,
playing with Connor, he will probably best his career numbers for quite some time playing on McDavid's wing. So the sky's the limit for this guy, right? So he's going to get first power play time too, right? So he's going to be in front of the net. So with Barry blasting from the point and McDavid drives, it's going to be a whole lot of fantasy fun for those players for sure.
And again, his ADP is going to be considerably higher next year. He's not going to go at 171.4. He's not really a buy low candidate for next year anymore, right?
He's going to be expected to produce next to McDavid, and he will.
Yeah. Yeah. John, any other thoughts on Hyman?
No thoughts. Playing with McDavid, his stock's going to go up, and the numbers are going to show it too. So,
I mean, Pat Maroon put up 27 playing with McDavid, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, tier three here, guys. 2.5 points, fantasy points per game or less. We consider these average or replacement level players. So first up, we've got Jesse Puljujarvi. ADP in 2020 was 201.6, and his fantasy points per game was 1.72. Last year, he did have the best season of his career so far with 25 points and 15 goals. He provides some value by way of hits and shots on goal. With potential to line up with Hyman and McDavid, I would expect further improvement from him next year. With some luck and a healthy full season, 20 goals and 50 points is probably a reasonable expectation, no?
Yeah, so Tyler's going to take him in the sixth round.
Yep, all the others.
Bold prediction, Tyler's going to pick him in the sixth round.
All right.
But yeah, with Puljujarvi on McDavid's other wing, like I said, it's going to be a whole lot of fantasy fun because you'll probably see Jesse possibly on the first power play too. The potential is there for a monster season.
For sure it is. All right, next up, Matthew Joseph, 2020 ADP, undrafted. For the past three seasons, he's only put up 1.50 fantasy points per game. But I wanted to bring him up because he did show some flashes of brilliance in last year's Stanley Cup final. He had two assists, 17 hits, a 65.63 expected goals for percentage, which was first on the Tampa Bay Lightning. He had a 61.11% high danger chances for, which was third on the team. And like I said earlier, with Coleman, Gord, Barkley Kutrow, and Tyler Johnson all gone, somebody's got to fill in those minutes, and it really looks like Matthew Joseph is the guy to take over that role. So definitely keep an eye on him in drafts for next year. Even if it's a late round flyer, I think he can return some real value. What do you guys think?
I think so. He showed in the playoffs, right, all the way through, that when he got the chance to play, he fit in very nicely with wherever they put him on there, right? And he was getting chances no matter where they put him. So definitely he'll have the opportunity going forward. So if he makes the most of it, he'll be one of the sleepers for going into this season.
And if I recall correctly, I think he does add up some value in terms of hits as well. So some bonus coverage from Matthew Joseph there.
Yep.
John, any of the thoughts on Joseph?
Like you guys say, he's going to have the opportunities as long as he can execute on them. He'll be good to go.
Okay. Bruce, maybe do you want to chime in on these guys? I think they were kind of your picks here, right? I'll let you carry. We got the notes there. So
yeah, the next one on the list here was Tanner Pearson from Vancouver. So last year was kind of a down year for him. Well, Vancouver as a whole kind of took it as a down year. So they had injury issues and among other issues. So previous year, he was a 20-goal scorer for Vancouver. Daily Faceoff has him on the third line, possibly going into this season with all the depth now they've added there. I think he's got a chance to become a 20-goal scorer again for Vancouver going into this season, which for a late later round pick in your draft, if you need someone to fill in that forward position, I think he's a good bet for a bounce back, because they've got enough talent there that whether he plays on the third line, second line, or first line, he'll be able to put some points up for you again.
Yeah, and from my perspective, I don't think Nils Höglander is totally proven yet either. So if he does falter or struggle a bit early, I mean, that second line left wing spot is going to be Tanner Pearson's, right? So
yeah,
lots of opportunity there. So yeah, next one up, you got...
Next one up is Connor Brown, so from Ottawa. So he's projected to be second line winger again for Ottawa this year. And previous 21 goals, 14 assists in 56 games, so... He's based on that pace again. He'll be probably another late round pickup that projects well for you get to an 82 game schedule again. And the talent on Ottawa is just getting better, right? So I think he could be another later round addition that could serve you well too.
He was a pretty popular pickup late last season, if I recall correctly, right? Like he was on a bit of a goal scoring point streak.
He had a 10-game goal streak there for a while, close to the end of the season. So,
yeah. No, and I mean, if he gets the opportunity to play in the top six with Ottawa next year and play with some of the talent they have there, they're definitely, there's some good value there, I think.
For sure.
All right. So, guys, that kind of covers off the tiers, some of the wingers that we wanted to highlight. Like I said, we're going to provide the link to the Google Sheets doc in the show notes on our website. So go to fantasyhockeyhacks.com, episode 19, Guide to Wingers, How to Win Your Fantasy Hockey League. Additionally, we did include the top 30 goal scorers over the past three seasons. So check that out. There's some information there. You can review the top 30 playmakers or guys who are going to put up some assists for you. And then we've got the top 30 power play specialists in terms of power play points. And then I guess quickly, guys, let's just cover off in the next couple minutes here some of the bounce back candidates and breakout candidates we've got listed for next season. So, John, bounce back candidates, who do you like out of that list?
Out of this list, I like Nolan Patrick for sure. I feel that he's just going to pick his game up there in Vegas, and I'm excited for that. Nugent Hopkins is going to keep doing what he's doing. Solid two-way player. And I think I'm really excited to see Taylor Hall, just from the debacle that was in Buffalo and the way he was playing in Boston there for that little while. I'm excited for next year for Taylor Hall.
Yeah, me too. And I think I really hope they give Nolan Patrick that opportunity on that top line in Vegas.
I really do. Yeah,
I think he'll get it.
Yeah, I think skill wise, he's a better option than Chandler Stephenson, right?
Biggest thing for Patrick will be health. That'll be the big thing. He's got to stay healthy.
Yep. Okay. Bruce, out of the bounce back candidates, who do you like?
For me, the bounce back ones, I'm very curious to see how Tyler Seguin's going to do coming into this year. He's always been high on my drafts. I've never been able to grab him, but he's always been high on my list. So I'm curious to see what he's going to do this year. The other one for me is Laine.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Curious to see, right? He basically signed his qualifying offer, right, to stay in Columbus. So,
yep.
That's another one that I'm hoping that he can get back on there, because he's proven with Winnipeg that he can put that puck in the net. So I'm hoping he can find his way back, because he's a hell of a player.
I think he's due for a bounce back next year. I would agree. And no Tortorella this year. And just having, I think, a guy like Voracek coming in is going to help him on the power play too, and probably even strength.
Yeah, the other one I'm interested to see, and more so if he finally does get traded, be Tarasenko. Wherever team Tarasenko goes to, I think he'll be out on a mission to show St. Louis that I'm still an elite player, even with issues they've been talking about in the media. He's going to go out and he's going to prove to St. Louis that he can still do it. So,
yeah, I think so too. I was looking at the St. Louis lineup on Daily Faceoff. They don't even have Tarasenko listed right now.
Yeah.
He's just completely out of the lineup. Yeah. For me, bounce back candidates, I like Teuvo Teravainen in Carolina. He had the injury bug last year, but when he was playing, he produced very well. He's a very, very solid top six player. The other guy I'm curious about is how Mike Hoffman does in Montreal. They don't have a ton of goal scorers there. Center depth is, I guess, a bit of an issue after Nick Suzuki, right? Like, we don't know how Kotkaniemi's going to play or Jake Evans. But I think Mike Hoffman on his own, and if he has some power play opportunity, could return some value. And I like Victor Arvidsson in L.A. I think that's a guy that could score 30 playing next to Anze Kopitar. So we will see how that shakes out. Breakout candidates. Let's go through those quick. I was going to mention them really quick. I think we all like Cole Caulfield, or Gold Caulfield, if you prefer.
That's my name for him.
Yep. Did you see Jake Allen was wearing that sleeveless shirt on Twitter?
No, I didn't see that.
He was wearing a Gold Caulfield shirt on Twitter. Yeah, it was quite funny.
Awesome. Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
So I like him a lot for next year. Definitely a guy that I'm going to target in drafts next year. And, I like Wahlstrom as well out in the island. I think having Eberle moved out is going to provide some opportunity for him to step up and absolutely play some extra minutes. What do you guys think? Bruce, who else you like out of those breakout candidates?
The two for me that I'm the most curious about are the last two in the list. So Lafreniere and Kaapo Kakko. Basically, the Rangers are betting the bank because they traded away Buskevich. They are hoping that these two guys take some serious steps forward this year. So they're the two that I'm most curious about because they're going to have to if the Rangers are going to have success this year. So I'm not entirely convinced that they're going to do that yet, but the proof will be in the pudding, right? So they may have slow starts to get off, but if they can get the ball rolling, there'll be some great late round pickups or possibly even waiver wire pickups, depending on the league yet. We'll see where they go, but they're the two that I'm most curious to see out of the list.
Well, and they might not even be in New York. Like, there's a lot of, like, New York, the Rangers are being tied to Jack Eichel quite a bit, right? So if that trade ever does materialize, there's a good chance one of those guys is getting moved.
And it's probably Lafreniere.
Yeah, if you're making that deal, right?
Because Kakko really hasn't done a whole lot the last two seasons, right? Lafreniere did at the end of the season was coming on, right? So,
yeah.
But, yeah, that whole Rangers team is something else, too. So,
yeah. Yeah, if Kaapo doesn't get anything going here, I don't see him being a Ranger by the end of the year.
Who else do you like from that list there, John? Breakout candidates.
Let's see.
Say Varana.
Yeah, Varana, I suppose. I see him on the list here, and I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he's okay.
Obviously, yeah, there is always the potential there. He's a solid guy. I definitely think that he's due for a breakout.
So can I point something out here quick? Sorry, John, to interrupt.
Yeah, go for it.
So I'm just pulling up the stats in the spreadsheet here. Do you want to know who scored the most even strength goals amongst wingers over the past three seasons?
You're not going to say Varana.
Well, it was actually Alex Ovechkin. But then it was closely followed by Patrick Kane, and then in third was Jacob Varana with 68 goals, even strength goals.
Wow.
Yeah, so I really like Varana for next season playing in Detroit in that top six.
So
yeah, no kidding. That actually surprises me. I didn't actually know that one. So
there you go, a little stats knowledge for you.
Yep, perfect. And then Josh Norris, yeah. I think he's going to have a breakout year too here. He's been solid. He was solid last year in Ottawa, and I think this year he'll pick it up for sure.
I like that one too.
Just there's a lot of young excitement on that team, and it's got me a little bit pumped, even though I'm not a big Senators guy.
No, me neither, but they should be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, guys, we're just over our time lot here, but, great show. Thanks, guys, for doing this. As always, it was a lot of fun. Hopefully, you guys, as the listeners, got some value out of this. Like I said, we're going to include all the rankings and the spreadsheets in the show notes there. If you want to see more information from us in terms of, you know, fantasy hockey stats or news, check out our Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks. Check out our Twitter at FH Hacks. And check out the website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com. Additionally, if you have any questions, comments, or otherwise, be sure to email us, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. With that, guys, thank you. Great show. A lot of fun. We will talk to you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Take care.